This is Anderson Penn's podcast episode 16 for Sunday, September 9th, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anybody listening for the first time is going to think we're nuts.
We are. That's okay.
I thought this week we'd start off with a discussion about nib sizes. What?
Just jump right in. All right. Size does matter.
Size matters. When it comes to pens, size matters. Although theoretically speaking, the pen only writes on the tipping, and therefore size really doesn't matter, but that's a discussion for a different day, I suppose.
Or a Duke.
That's correct. There's often a lot of talk about nib sizes and nib numbers, and often you'll hear terms such as this pen has a number 6 nib. Sometimes it's pretty hard to know what that means without having some kind of point of reference. And if you're new to the hobby, that means absolutely nothing to you. So let's try to demystify that. So let's take, for example, some Twisby pens, since they've been pretty good about labeling the size of their nibs. Twisby 540, the piston fillers, have a number 5 nib. The Micartas and the VAC 700s, when they came out, the big deal was that they had a larger number 6 nib. So you could see the difference here, that the number 6 in the VAC is clearly larger than the 540 nib. So generally speaking, sizes of nibs run in from size 2 to 8 in even increments. Now, of course, there were size 0 nibs, Mont Blanc and Wall most notably. I'm sure there were others. And there were, of course, number 1 nibs. Waterman had size 3, size 5, and 7, which is actually a quite scarce nib. And there were even size 10, and I believe the Black Giants have a size 12. Vintage pens typically start out with a number 2 nib, and the larger the nib, the more expensive they were at the time, and the more uncommon they are to find today. Excuse me. Most modern pens fall in this 5 to 6 range, which is what the Twisbys have. Now, all this being said, there really is no standard for how big a particular number nib should be. What one company calls a number 6 nib might be smaller or larger than another company's nib. So same holds true for vintage pens. So let's take a look at a number 8, because everybody wants to know what a number 8 looks like.
It's big.
So first pen I'm going to show is a Lincoln. And this is a warranted number 8 nib. Okay, it's an okay size nib. It's not huge. Let's compare that next to a Waterman number 8.
That's one big nib.
It's sometimes referred to as a shovel here in Wisconsin. When the snow gets deep, we whip out the Waterman 18s and we take care of the snow that way. So obviously there's a bit of a discrepancy there. I mean, that's a pretty huge nib. Now.
But they're both number 8 nibs.
They're both marked number 8. That's correct. Right. So I'm going to carefully put the cap back on the Waterman. Now, let's take a look at number 6. So this is where it's going to get interesting. So here I have two pens. This one right here, this modeled hard rubber beauty, is a vintage Edison from St. Petersburg, Virginia. And the other one here is a Waterman. So it's a number 6. Those are pretty, pretty similar. But if we bring this Lincoln pen back into the picture, you notice that what these two are referred to as a 6 is the same size as this warranted number 8. So clearly there are some variances there. So depends. They're in a league of their own. And actually, this whole part of the show was brought up because our remote correspondent, Mike Beiler, who texts me every day practically with all sorts of things he finds. I should say tortures me every day with all sorts of things he finds. Was that we were having a discussion on the size of this Bard Brothers nib that he found. But dip pens are in a league of their own. What can you say about all this? Well, if a pen says it has a number 8 nib, we can pretty much, pretty safe to say that it's may very well be the largest size nib that particular manufacturer made. But it doesn't really indicate how big it is in relation to other manufacturers' nibs. So this you can only get through experience and handling a good deal of pens to get an idea of it. I would say the Waterman, the shovel here is, you know, it's on the outlier side. They're big. So anyway, that's a little bit, a little rundown on some nib sizes. But speaking of experience in handling some pens, I guess this leads into our next discussion that we had earlier this morning is pen books.
Yep, absolutely. A PCA member emailed me this week looking for information on a certain pen book, which caused us to think about our own library of books. Now, sometimes pen books can be a little pricey, at least compared to a paperback novel you pick up at your local bookstore, but pen books should be considered more like an actual investment. It's a worthwhile price to pay to have relevant, accurate information, plus gorgeous pictures, all in one spot. We have a large collection, I think, of pen-related books, and we have a longer list of books we still want to purchase. There are books that have been written about all sorts of specific brands, different eras, different styles or filling systems of pens. So part of what you might buy depends on what you personally collect or what you're interested in.
Yeah, there are several good reliable books for newbies, new collectors. Probably the one of the best is Paul Arano's Fountain Pens Past and Present. And that book holds a special spot in my heart.
Is that the one we're in?
It is the one that we're in. on one of the latter pages of the book, some of our pens are photographed there together. Regina Martini has a book called Pens and Pencils, A Collector Handbook. It's a little bit older book. I don't have the date handy, but it has some black and white images. But it's a good, inexpensive book for a beginner, and it shows a wide array of pens in that book. Collectible Fountain Pens by Glenn Bowen is a classic. It's a bigger book. It's all in black and white, and it dates back from has prices from 1998. I think it was originally published in 82. But there's ads, and it covers only the big four, so Parker, Schaefer, Waterman, and Wall Eversharp. But it's a very good reference for those four brands.
Yeah, great. Some great pictures. Some of the ads are really entertaining and really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, and the prices, of course, now are laughable. You know, $100 for a Mandarin Duofold. I'll take 10. And that's one thing you're not going to find in a lot of books is prices. Most people don't put prices in books because just for that very reason, they do change. And I guess lastly, any book by Jonathan Steinberg, he has a number of them that cover multiple brands, and some of his typically do include a good portion of European pens. They're all worth having for starters. Now, most of these books that I've just mentioned are probably in the $25 to $35 range, so they're pretty inexpensive, all things considering. If you decide that you want to focus on a particular brand, of course, there are specific books for Parker's has really the best coverage, dual fold, 51s, vacuumatics.
Yep.
They're a little bit more expensive, but they're worth it to get real concentrated coverage. Maybe Todd, there's a book on Maybe Todd, which actually is
great
now.
One.
Yeah, it's very excellent, excellent book. I believe it's out of print now, but the Pelican book. I mean, there's books for most brands, so those are all good books. So,
yep, lots of great pictures and really wonderful resources. So don't pass it up just because it's a little bit maybe pricey, more than you might think.
Yeah, I know when I started collecting, that was one of the pieces of advice I always heard. Everybody said, buy the book before the pen. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, that's crazy because I'm going to spend $50 on this book. I could buy two pens with that.
Two pens? You
know, well, at the time. I mean, I was buying oversized balances for $30, but
I'll take two.
I'll take two. But they're well worth the investment. So,
absolutely. You know, websites go down or the information, you know, maybe changed or removed. But if you have the book, you know, you keep it forever and the pictures are just beautiful.
Yeah. So. And it's not uncommon to find people who are downsizing and then they'll sell off their books. So you can even find them on some of the pen forums used, which is, for me, I don't really care. As long as it's in good condition, any book is better than no book. So,
yep. There you go.
There it is. And I guess, where are we going to be putting all our books?
We will be putting our books in the new pen room.
The new pen
room.
What
a good transition.
What a transition, huh? Like a real professional here.
All right, so the pen room. Oh my gosh, the floor is almost done with the cement and the leveling, and the flooring I think will go down this week. Very excited to see our spice bamboo flooring.
Oh, yep,
it's been in our lobby in huge stacks. I've been using it almost like a countertop. There are that many boxes, but I'll be glad to get that out of there and on the floor. Everything has been drywalled, sanded, and primed by Carpenter Joe. And Brian and I were, I think, overly ambitious yesterday. And we decided to put on the first coat of paint. I mean, we've renovated practically our whole house by ourselves. And so, you know, a coat of paint was nothing, but I think we're a little out of shape. So we did the first coat on the ceiling and the walls, and I think we're happy to leave the rest to Joe for Monday.
Yep. Yep.
Painting ceilings is not our favorite thing, and it's hard on the back. So we decided to do our second favorite thing and use the heat gun and strip and sand the old dingy paint from the stairs, which personally I find to be kind of soothing, actually. And next weekend, we'll stain and poly them, and we'll be in business. Joe's got some bookcases to make for the pens and the ink, and then some additional bookcases underneath a 15-foot-long countertop that will have, I think, 5 bookcases for all of our pen worlds, all of our pennants, all of our pen books, and it'll have most of Brian's Esterbrook display cases on top.
5 bookcases?
Well, if it's 15 feet long, that's 5 bookcases, 3 feet wide.
Okay. Just sound like a lot.
Oh, it is a lot. We have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of pen stuff. Think about all your desk sets alone. We need more than that.
All these guys right up here?
Yeah. Yeah. And over, yeah.
Yeah, everywhere.
What else have you been up to?
Yesterday, for those of you who don't know, I was on the FP Geeks Fountain Pen Radio broadcast. And it was, as always, a very good time. The geeks, Dan Smith, Eric Schneider, and Stephen Brown, they have now standardized their weekly broadcasts. So for those of you that haven't been able to catch them live or not sure when it is, or because for a while there it was changing every week, they do now go live 8 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Central Time every Saturday morning. And it looks like it's going to be that way now, so that's good. They do have a rotating guest on each week, of which I am one. Brian Gray of Edison Pens and Greg Mnuchin are the other two guest hosts. So it's a good time if you can check it out. Other words, they do put the video podcast up on their site, as well as the audio version in the iTunes for your convenience. So good show yesterday, and I don't know when the next time I'll be on again, but always fun to chat with those and have fun around with those guys.
I think it's going to be a couple weeks because it's somebody else's turn next week, and then we're I think we're booked for a couple weeks after that.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do the post-Detroit show edition or something.
There you go. So speaking of being
speaking of booked, yep.
2 weeks, oh my God, until the Dallas Penn show.
I didn't say
we've
it.
We've already started packing.
It.
And now I need to figure out where to go to rent a semi tractor trailer, you know, a big 18 wheeler. We just keep thinking we can fit more stuff. Can we add a hitch to the truck maybe?
We could put a hitch,
maybe a little
hitch
trailer
on the Acura. Yeah.
There you go. With a bed so we could sleep.
If we move everything into the trailer, we can make the back half the Acura bed.
Oh, awesome. Friday and Saturday, September 21st and 22nd. Our plan is to drive in Thursday, late afternoon, early evening after a gulp 20-ish hour drive. We're going to sleep hard and fast and hit the ground running on Friday morning. This particular show is a Friday-Saturday show, which was a little bit odd for us to get used to since most shows are Saturday-Sunday.
Well, I think we actually like it this way a lot.
We do.
Organized do a good job of advertising. Friday's usually a pretty good day. It's long. It goes longer than most shows till about 8 o'clock at night. Then by the time Saturday rolls around, Saturday night, you're done. A lot of people spend the night in Dallas that night, but we're going to pack up and drive until midnight-ish, then sleep and travel the rest of the way on Sunday. So the Friday-Saturday thing works out. But this will be our third year, and we wouldn't miss it.
Love it.
So, yeah, many big dealers going to be there. It's going to be a good show. A lot of great people. If you're anywhere in the vicinity, highly recommended. Stop by, say hi. But, yeah, definitely a good show. Come and see us.
Yep. The organizers do a terrific job and really friendly, really helpful staff. We always have a good show. Always a good time. And then immediately following that very next weekend is the Detroit show on September 28th, 29th. So we go from Dallas home, do laundry, and then leave pretty much. Now, the Detroit show is a little bit smaller, but very friendly and a lot of fun. Last year, you may recall, we've talked about some great buying experiences. Brian bought a bunch of pens, literally out of the back of some guy's truck. And I did manage to score a terrific deal on some of my my beloved Parker Penman bottled ink.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that until you mentioned it. It was some crazy, crazy deal, too, wasn't it? It was like $20 a bottle or two for like $25
or something. Yeah.
Like,
I'll take four.
I think so, yeah. No, good show. And it's for a smaller show, I think it was definitely well worth the trip. So.
Yep, the organizers did promote it well. And in fact, there was a busload of, the Ontario Pen Club or the Toronto Pen Club? One of the Canadian pen clubs actually rented a bus and drove on down. So all of a sudden, you just had this huge influx of traffic all there for the pens. They weren't just in the hotel kind of wandering around like sometimes happens. I mean, they were there for a purpose.
Yeah, that was awesome.
They had a good time.
Now, have we determined, last year we had this small problem at the hotel. I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but there was another convention going on at the same time. So now I'm just going to go there and I'm going to say, fountain pen collectors, we're kind of an eclectic bunch on our own. Nerdy, nerdy maybe might be a one word that some of us might use. Geeky, I guess. But the other convention going on was a Wicca convention.
Which is
fine.
It was actually some of them were quite lovely. Yep. And I went in, they had some really interesting things, a lot of holistic crystals and it's not what you might think, but
I didn't have a problem with that. That was fine. It was just that that evening, that Saturday evening, they had a Wicca ball that was more like, I don't know how to even describe it, a rock star concert almost. And
it was just loud and obnoxious. And it went on until, I mean, we actually called security. It got so bad. People screaming. And I don't know about the rest of you out there in Penland, but Walk Like an Egyptian might be a fine song, on the radio when you're in the car. But at 2:30 in the morning, not what I want to have to listen to when I'm trying to sleep after working really hard all weekend. Yep. So I don't think that the convention, it wasn't the convention itself. It was just the attendees.
Some of the attendees, yeah.
Drunk after this ball. I don't think we'll have that problem, okay. But I don't know. It was, we always have an adventure whenever we go to a show, and that was up there in probably the top five.
Yep. So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're being generous. Top three, probably.
Well, the wedding.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know what's number two, but we'll come up with something. But yeah, it was interesting. Kind of annoying. I mean, the rest of the trip had been wonderful and the show was good and, the hotel was okay and, everything was fine except just the loud noise and the music and the screaming. And, I could tell you what room ordered pizza and it was on the first floor and, so everybody starts running up and down the hall, but we were really looking forward to some sleep and that didn't quite happen. So.
All right. Anyway, I just had to ask. So. moving right along.
There you go. Just, people out there want to know what happens at a show. It's not all about the pens sometimes. Yeah.
Oh. we had some web updates this week.
A little bit, yep. We ordered some refillable rollerball pens a while back from both Jay Herbin and Noodlers. I thought they were cool, but we weren't quite sure how well they would do. I mean, some people are, like Brian, are die-hard fountain pen users and won't even consider a ballpoint
Hang on. We talked about this a few weeks back, and I actually have a vintage refillable ballpoint.
Do you use it? On a regular basis?
I haven't used it in a while.
Owning one doesn't mean you use it. Well, I use them. So I thought these were cool.
You do?
It was a good price point, so we bought them. I'm just skipping over anything you're saying there. So we bought them. We were actually surprised at how well they blew off the table in D.C. And on the web. So we've restocked those, plus the Pelican and Jay Herbin cartridges that everybody loves.
Yep. And we also found out, actually, thanks to Stephen Brown, FP Geeks, we also found that the Urban rollerball pens accept the Monteverde Mini Converter. So you can use your favorite bottled ink in them as well if you don't like to use cartridges. So that was kind of an interesting discovery. But with the start of school and our new routine that's been going on around here, the pen room and all that stuff for the next few months, we haven't added too much to the website this week. We should have some more ink samples up, plus some other, maybe some interesting desk sets soon. We'll see about those desk sets. I don't know. We have about 5 boxes of desk sets that we acquired.
Or more.
We'll see. There may be like a desk set Sunday or something that we list them.
Ooh.
But
cool. And what else Speaking of getting rid of things.
Let's not forget about the back to school giveaway.
Awesome.
Until October 6th, we will accept letters and postcards for our October 7th podcast drawing. We'll be in Detroit that Sunday prior, so we're going to push it off after the Penn Show podcast review. On that day, the winner will be offered his or her choice of the Monteverde Artista Crystal. I don't have one handy, but we have a picture of one up on our Facebook page. Of course, they're on the website. You're also going to get your choice of two packages of Pelican International cartridges and one of our very own Proper Pads notebooks.
The pen color choices are clear, turquoise, which is really pretty, pink, which is kind of a muted pink. It's not a neon pink, and lime green. Cool color. Mm-hmm. Nibs are all medium. The winner will also choose from the five different color of Pelican Short International cartridges, which are brilliant black, royal blue, brilliant red, turquoise, and violet. We'll toss in one of our newly designed notebooks, and you're all set.
Should mention that the pen does include a piston converter as well, so you can also use your own bottled ink in it as well. Pen, paper, and ink all to the winner. So
send your entry in the form of a postcard, a letter, or a note card. No emails, texts, or other electronic entries allowed. Limit one per person, please. Do include your email address on your entry so that we can contact you if you're the winner. And yes, international entries are both allowed and encouraged.
You bet.
So mail them to us at Anderson Penn's Back to School Giveaway, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
The winner will be drawn randomly during the podcast on the 7th.
Yep.
So anything else this week?
I think we've covered it.
Okay. Comment, suggestions for topics, use your pens, write to us at Anderson Penn's, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online.
Email is brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net.
You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/andersonpens.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/andersonpens.
The website is andersonpens.net.
We do have a blog, andersonpens.net/blog.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you again next week.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.